Well, this morning, I've been thinking a little bit about different things, and this morning I'm going to be talking about noise. You know, like we live in a world full of noise. We have thousands of different sounds and voices that are competing for our attention each day. You know, so there is a collaboration of sounds that just bombards us from the moment we get up to the moment we fall asleep every night. You know, and I went and did a little bit of research to find out what this noise is sort of called, you know, like, and the term that they use is they call it this white noise. And white noise is the accumulation of all the frequencies that human beings can hear. You know, like, there's tens of thousands of frequencies, and you put them all together, and that's what white noise sounds like. And you've probably heard white noise before. You know, like if you've ever tried to tune a TV and you get onto a frequency that doesn't actually recognize anything and hear that sound, or when you're the old, like nowadays we've got digital radios so you don't really hear it, but back in the day when you had to manually tune your radio, you would hear it there, you'd hear the until you came into a frequency where there was something coming through. Well, that's what white noise is. You know, that annoying sound of thousands and thousands of frequencies coming together to annoy us. You know, like I know when I tune the TV, I always turn the volume down because I don't want the it just ticks me off. It's annoying. That's what white noise is. But today we probably have change the definition of white noise. You know, like as I was doing my research, I could see that you could download an app. So all those new parents to be, you can download an app and they can play white noise that will put your child to sleep. They can, you know, and it could be like the sound of rainforest. It could be the sound of water at the beach, crashing waves. So they've changed this sound of what white noise is, but actually that definition is incorrect because it's the accumulation of all these frequencies coming together. White noise also masks out other sounds. So white noise has the ability to stop us hearing other sounds. So we have in our world around about us so many different sounds that take place. So many voices speaking to us, and then we have white noise. Now, some of these voices are white noise, and we mask out sounds that we really need to hear. You know, like this week, as you do on a daily basis, I went to the toilet, and at the moment that I flushed the toilet, I heard this muffled sound from the other end of the house. And it was Tone asking a request of me. And the white noise of the toilet flushing masked out this very important voice that I could no longer hear. And I knew, like, if you know that when you miss that noise, you're potentially in trouble. So this white noise of the toilet flushing, and, you know, like, I was going through my mind, what conversations have we had? Can I potentially guess what she asked? Or do I have to just say, I didn't hear you? It's this white noise that masks out sounds that we really need to hear. So as I was preparing this message throughout the week, I began to think that maybe there is some white noise in each of our lives that actually masks sounds and voices of people we really need to hear. You know, what if our life is so full of white noise that we actually can't hear the voice of a friend that's in a time of need? What if our life is so full of white noise that we don't actually hear our kids talking to us? Or what if we are in a situation where there is so much white noise around us that we can't hear the words of our loved ones? So, referring to my story before, I came to the realization that I must have so much white noise around me that I sometimes miss out on what Tone is saying to me. Now, fellas, is there anyone who can understand where I'm coming from? Like, I don't know, like, I don't think it'd be a good excuse if I missed something that Tone said and I just referred to that as, well, I didn't hear you because that white noise in my head was blocking out your voice and I can't get it. So I don't think that would be a good excuse. But in our household, Tone does have good hearing. You know, I could be at one end of the house and I can mutter a word and I hear the words, I heard that. Or Tone's hearing is so good that sometimes she'll say, don't even say it, I know what you're about to say. You know, like, ladies, we get that, don't we? Like, there's something about ladies' hearing. Now, that was just a little throw it in there, you know, like it's not actually true because I've got better hearing than Tone. Tone's got better sight than me. But now, here we have so many different noises and voices around us, around about us, that it actually blocks out the most important voice that we actually need to hear. Is that white noise in our world and lives blocks out the voice of an almighty God? So in today's culture, what voices are constantly trying to fill our lives? We need to hear the voice of God more than ever. This morning I want to share a simple message about how we can identify some of the other voices that mask out the real voice we actually want to hear. So when we hear the real voice, we can hear it better and more clearer and with more clarity. In James 1 and verse 19 it says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must be quick to listen, slow to speak and slow to get angry. You know, and this verse doesn't set a criteria of who it's for, but in some translations it says, let every man who has ears to hear what God is actually saying. And so often we get it around the wrong way. We find ourselves saying, let every man be slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to be angry. But God is saying here, no, my desire for us is to be ones that actually are swift to hear the words of God. You see, we live in a day where God wants a voice, not an echo. And you know, an echo is a repeated sound. It's a reverberated sound. You see, an echo is so often used in our lives. We echo someone else's opinion. We echo someone else's thoughts and behaviors. But God wants us to be not just an echo, but rather a conduit to hear his voice and speak it out. You see, I can listen to other people's revelation and that will sustain me for a day. But when you actually hear the voice of an almighty God, it sustains you for a lifetime. Now, a few years ago, Trev had this track that he played a video from, and some of you may have remembered it, you know, and it went along the lines of Just One Touch from the King, this old fella. And when Ed was playing his bass today, he had his cap on, and he looked like this jazz musician, like a real cool dude. I was looking over at him, dum-dum-dum-dum, looked like this real cool dude. That reminded me of that track because it was an old wigger doing the tune, playing the song, Just One Touch from the King. You know, and if you have a touch from the King, it changes you, it sustains you, it brings life to you. And God's saying in this culture, in this day with which we are living, he's saying, don't just let my voice be an echo of someone else's revelation or belief system, but no, grab your own belief system. Get into the Word of God and work out his truths and speak out those. Would you allow the voice of God to be the dominant voice in your life? In today's age, we are hearing voices constantly. You know, with the introduction of the internet, we have access to more information in one day than someone growing up 100 years ago would have access to in their whole life. Like when I went to school, and that wasn't that long ago, when I went to school and I was doing assignments, so I'd have to go and get an encyclopedia off the shelf and you'd look in that encyclopedia. And it seemed like that encyclopedia was outdated 12 months later, a lot like a car. You had to buy a new set of encyclopedia with the current information. And it was like that 100 years ago. But with the introduction of the internet, we have access to all these voices that are constantly competing for our attention. And it's occurring on a daily basis on a number of forums in and around the world with which we live. So in every issue of life, God doesn't want us to be an echo, but a voice that speaks life and truth. You see, we live in a culture where there are so many things vying for our allegiance, vying for our attention. It's almost deafening at times. The other day I was reading a post on Facebook from someone who once walked with God, and in the contest for what voice he is going to align himself to, he has found himself declaring a voice that is so contradictory to the voice of God. Now, I'm not trying to be critical of that particular person. I'm just trying to acknowledge that we are surrounded by so many voices that are trying to grab our attention, are trying to influence, are trying to persuade us to believe a particular thing. But one thing I've found is that white noise can keep you and I from living out our unique frequency with God. You see, God has a unique frequency that he wants to communicate to you and I with. And the noise around about us can actually shut out our ability to hear the voice of Almighty God. So today I want to look at a passage of Scripture in Matthew 16. And in this passage, I want to identify some of the voices that you and I hear on a daily basis. It's white noise that masks out other voices, other noises. And I don't want to live a life where all the other noise actually masks out the voice of God as he speaks into my life. So we'll read Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. It said, when Jesus came into the region of, Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against you. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, that this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. You see, in this scripture, I want to identify four different voices and voices that you and I would hear on a regular basis. And the whole reason to identify these voices is some of these voices will actually mask the voice of God. And if you and I can actually identify those voices, it will provide us with better clarity to hearing the voice of God. Because we need to hear the voice of God. So the first voice I want to identify in the passage is the voice of the crowd. You see, in verse 13 it says, when Jesus came into that region, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and the others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. The first voice here is the voice of the crowd. So in this passage here, Jesus is actually asking his disciples, who does the crowd say he actually is. You see, they came back with varying opinions because the crowd will always have an opinion, but it won't always necessarily be right. So the disciples rattled off a range of options of who they say Jesus is. There is something about the voice of the crowd, and I've observed a few things about the crowd in and around my life. You see, the voice of the crowd will bring you down to size. You know, in our culture particularly, we've got the tall poppy syndrome, so the voice of the crowd constantly tries to bring you down to size. The voice of the crowd is a voice of impossibility, the voice of you can't do that. The voice of the crowd may be a voice of criticism. The voice of the crowd can only voice what they can comprehend. In this passage, you see, the society, the crowd, could comprehend who Jesus may be, and that's all they could voice. They could never voice that he was the Son of the living God. They did not know the truth of his reality, but they would put a guess as to who he could possibly be. The voice of the crowd will always speak the status quo. Don't move ahead, stay where you're at. The voice of the crowd could be a voice of judgment. You see, if you and I can identify the voices around us, it allows us with greater clarity to hear the voice of an almighty God. You see, it's important with who we surround ourselves with, because we always become like those that we surround ourselves with. So we need to identify the voice of those that we surround ourselves with. We need to identify the voice of the crowd so that they may speak into our life, and how you can actually eliminate at times the voices that you're hearing is by shutting the door. You see, shut the door on these voices that come against you. In 2 Kings, in verse 4, there's a drought in the land, and a prophet comes to this lady's home. She's a widow. She has two kids. And on this day, she's going to, the kids, they're going to be sold to repay debts. And her oils are running out, her flour's running out, and a man of God says to her, I want you to go into all of your community and grab as many containers as you can and come back, because I'm going to prophesy that your oil is not going to run dry in that season of drought. In verse 4 it says, and when you have come in, so she's gone and grabbed the containers, and when you've come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. You see, why did the prophet say she needed to shut the door to the crowd? Because the voice of the crowd will always speak impossibility. The voice of the crowd will only say what they can comprehend. You see, Mum, your kids are going to be sold off to repay your debts. The voice of the crowd will always speak what is before us and what is known. And here the prophet is saying, no, you need to shut the door to the voices of the crowd so that you can see the miracle working power of God flow in your life. You see, in Matthew 6, it talks about when you pray, shut the door. There's times where we need to shut the door to the white noise around about us. This way we can spend time with God without the criticism, without the judgment, without the opinion of others around about us. This morning, who do you need to shut the door to? And what voices do you need to shut out of your life, allowing you with greater clarity to hear the voice of God? The second voice this morning I want to identify is the voice of self. And Jesus said to his disciples, but who do you say that I am? He's looking for a personal response. He's not asking about the crowd and how they comprehend him. He's saying, who do you say that I am? This morning, what is the dominant sound of your voice? What does your voice default to when you find yourself in a difficult or tough situation? Now, don't be critical on yourself, but recognize that it's the voice that resonates between your ears that determines how we deal and cope with the other voices that we hear. What's your dominant voice? Maybe it's a voice of pride. Maybe a voice of doubt. A voice of insecurity. On the flip side, it could be a voice of faith. Maybe a voice of belief. Maybe it's a voice of encouragement. What's the default of your heart's position? I talk about our own voice because if we can recognize our own voice, we will be able to with better clarity, hear the most important voice, the voice of an almighty God. What does your voice sound like? You see, the woman with the issue of blood, she had had this infirmity for 12 years, and she finds herself on this day knowing Jesus is going to be walking through the city, and she says, "If only I can touch his robe." You see, even after 12 years with this issue, her voice still said, "As Jesus walks through my town today, if only I can touch his robe." And you know, we know the conclusion to that story. She reaches out, she touches his robe, anointing leaves his body, and she's healed. You see, what's the sound of your voice today? If only I can touch him. If only. You see, if we can identify the voice of self, if you can identify the voice of the crowd, if you can identify the voice that is going on in and around your mind with greater clarity, it allows you to hear the voice of God. You see, the third voice this morning I want to concentrate on is the voice of God. You see, Simon Peter, in verse 16 it says, "Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" You see, in this passage, Jesus is saying to Peter that you're not smart enough to come up with this statement on your own. You do not have enough human wisdom. You have not cognitively thought this, but he says, "My Father in heaven has revealed this to you." The voice of God flows directly into Peter, and he just blurts it out. And that's how God wants you and I to live, that we would be swift to hear in this culture, in this day that which we live in, that the voice, that we would hear the voice of an almighty God. You see, the voice of God is powerful. It's a powerful voice. It's a voice of instruction, but it's also a voice of correction. It's a voice of compassion. It's a multifaceted voice. It can be a voice of a trumpet, but while also being a still small voice. It can be a hammer that will break the hardest of hearts open. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. When we get hold of the voice of God, it changes everything. There is something amazing about the voice of God. I found that when we hear God's voice, the situation itself may not change, but everything changes. If you can think back to times you've heard the voice of God, it changes everything. It gives you comfort. It gives you strength to go again. We need to hear the voice of God with clarity. I remember when I was about 17 or 18, and Mum and Dad, they were going through some stuff, and I was driving the van. And if you know our van, it was a dodgy old van. You definitely weren't a hipster when you were driving that van. You know, I remember one time I was out the front of the church, and Chubbs decided to, it was an old van, blue van, dodgy thing, and Chubbs decided to get on the bull bar, and I reversed out, and a police officer came out of, there was a pub next door, he came out of the pub and gave me a ticket. Like, I just definitely wasn't a cool dude in this van. But on this day, I was driving the van to church to go to youth group. And Mum and Dad they just parted ways. And I remember sitting out the front, I can remember it so clearly. All these voices in my mind asking all these questions, wanting to understand a situation as a 7, 18-year-old boy never would. And I remember hearing the voice of God saying, it will all be okay. And it changed everything in that situation. Changes everything. You see, when we hear his voice, everything changes. It says his grace is sufficient for all we need. You know, and I think of the story of Jesus going through the waters of baptism in Matthew 3. As he's going through the waters of baptism, he hears the voice of his dad. And his dad says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You know, and I think this is an amazing statement because at this time, Jesus is yet to do anything. But I think it's this voice that sustains Jesus for the rest of his ministry. Even though he is yet to do any miracles, his father comes and speaks over him and declares that he is pleased. And this morning, God's speaking over your life exactly the same thing. It's about hearing the voice of God and everything changes. You see, God's voice speaks with power to change, with instruction to life, with correction to make right, with compassion to forgive, and with clarity to reveal himself. There is something powerful about hearing the voice of God. Today, God loves you, and he doesn't want his voice to be just an echo, a resounding echo. He wants you to hear his voice with great clarity. And the fourth voice this morning I want to identify is the voice of the enemy. In verse 21, it says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. How quickly can we hear the wrong voice? Just verses earlier, Peter is a superstar. You know, he's heard the voice of an almighty God. And here he is a few verses later, hearing the voice, this white noise of the enemy. You see, if you can recognize the voice of the enemy, it's going to give you greater clarity to hear the voice of an almighty God. The voice of the enemy will oppose God's voice. It will also speak condemnation. It will declare shame and fear over your life. It's a voice of lies. It's a voice of temptation. It's a voice of deception. It's the voice of the enemy will always separate you from the will of God. As we look at these four voices and we've identified them, today the great challenge is to recognize if any of these voices are hindering you from hearing a voice of an almighty God. Because we need to hear his voice with clarity. Is the voice of the crowd masking the voice of an almighty God? Is the voice of self dominating? It won't allow you to hear the voice of God. Or is the voice of the enemy deceiving you, trying to bring shame and condemnation into your life? To each of those three voices, at times, we have to shut the door. Shut the door to it so you can hear the voice of an almighty God with great clarity. And as we come to a close, some quick points on how we can cut through the white noise and recognize the voice of an almighty God. Point one, God's voice is always consistent with his word. So as God speaks to you, see if it aligns to his word. Because God's voice will be consistent to his word. God's voice will also be consistent with your shape. And when I say that, I believe God is interested in enlarging, interested in stretching us. But God has gifted each of us. And when God speaks, he's going to line up to the shape he has designed and destined us to be. You see, God can do the extraordinary like he did with Gideon, where courage rises up and he's been able to outwork God's given shape. But when God speaks, he speaks according to our shape. You see, if I heard a voice saying, I want you to be an opera singer, I could quickly dismiss that voice as it doesn't line up with the shape of the life that God's destined for me. God's voice will always be convicting rather than condemning. Could I get the emblems handed out, please, as I close? Because I'm just going to flow straight into communion this morning. So God's voice will always be convicting rather than condemning. Conviction is from God. Condemnation comes from the enemy. You see, conviction points to a way of change. Condemnation makes you feel bad and makes you move in a backward direction. You see, conviction always leads us to the possibility of a better day, while condemnation makes us feel hopeless. Would you cut through the white noise this morning? God's voice will always be Christ-centered, not self-centered. So it's not about me. It's not always about my desires. God's voice will always bring peace. Now, initially, when he's enlarging us, it may scare the living daylights out of you. But over time, it's going to bring peace. If it doesn't bring peace over a period of time, it's probably not the voice of God, because his voice leaves a residue of peace. Would you today recognize how we can isolate the white noise in our lives and better hear the voice of an almighty God? See, the cross this morning is the place for me that allows me to hear God's voice. It speaks of relationship. It speaks of intimacy. It speaks of companionship and union. Because me, so undeserving, I don't deserve to hear the voice of God. But on the cross, he desired to have relationship with me. He desired to have relationship with you. And he paved a way for us to hear, speak, and commune with him. Because his voice is a voice of correction. It's a voice of love. It's a voice of peace. It's a voice of intimacy. It's a voice of correction. It's a voice of compassion. This morning, would you break through the voice? Break through the white noise that's stopping us from hearing the voice of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, that we can break through the noise, the white noise that's stopping us from hearing from you. I pray that you'll give us ears to hear you with greater clarity, to be able to recognize your voice, so when you say things to us, we can walk out and outwork the plan, the call that you've placed on our lives. We thank you that you're going to speak louder and with greater clarity into each of our lives. You're going to give us wisdom to deal with situations. You're going to give us clarity on how to communicate with those around us. You're going to give us the ability to outwork the call that you've placed on each of our lives and not be distracted by the white noise that sometimes clouds our mind. We thank you for who you are today. We thank you that you're a God of love, and you love each of us so intimately, and you desire nothing more than to have a relationship with each of us. You desire nothing more for us to have communion with you, to have conversation with you. We thank you for who you are today. We praise you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, for communion this morning, I've got a song that I'm just going to play. And the song's just all about hearing God's voice and abiding in his presence. And this morning, would you just abide in his presence? Would you allow the music to speak to your heart? Would you allow God to minister to you this morning? Talks about hearing his voice. And relationship with him is the number one way where we hear his voice. This morning, would you allow God to minister to your heart, to cut through the white noise that sometimes clouds our mind?